And also in Vipassana practice, oftentimes there's guided meditation, so a teacher will kind of guide you through this and this and this. But in our Zen tradition, we're kind of left dangling a little bit. The teacher just says, sit down and shut up, basically, you know, or just sit down and watch your mind. And you know, you think, what do I do? And we're not consciously, but there's a part of us, no matter how old we are, we want mommy and daddy to tell us what to do. We want to be held by a way or a form. And right away, this practice kind of leaves you dangling in a way. You have to, in other words, like you have to grow up right away in this practice. You have to be an adult. It's kind of like instead of taking a bus where someone else is driving for you, and there's a route. Greg takes the bus a lot, so you know. You just sit down and someone else drives. But in this practice, particularly in Zen practice, you have to be the driver. You have to steer. And you have to, in the midst of this kind of spaciousness, although the form itself has structure, I mean, more than other traditions, if someone were to look at our form from the outside, they'd say, those people are really strict. They're holding their posture very well. They're very formal. And it looks that way on the outside, but inside there's kind of a lot of room, you know? I mean, there's so much room, we can waste time, we can mess things up, we can take full responsibility for where we are and what we're doing and how we're doing it, and we can actually become an adult in the sense of taking responsibility and finding our way in this big meadow of practice. And we can make our own intimacy with our body as it is in the present moment, or with our breath as a kind of focus, with our minds, with our consciousness. So it's kind of risky, but you might say that the opportunity for maybe self-empowerment or kind of responsibility or maturity in this practice is well established right from the beginning, because you have to find your way and make your own way. That's my impression of this practice in one sense. So I think this, even though coming from a different tradition, I think this Dzogchen, what I read before, is a similar expression and encouragement for us. Shall I read it again? Somebody requested reading it again. In the guidance for meditation, it's often phrased like this: do not alter your present fresh wakefulness. Do not rearrange even as much as a hair tip. Just leave it exactly as it is. This is very profound, and there is a lot to understand here. When people hear about the awakened state, the Buddha mind, or whatever, they think it must be something fantastic, something flabbergasting, totally out of this world. Everything must have disappeared, fallen apart, or dissolved. It must be totally unique, unlike anything that they have experienced. With all these enormous preconceptions, one easily ignores the reality of Buddha mind. Within a preconception, I'm sorry, without a preconception of a better state, and now as I read before, without a preconception of a better state, allow your mind to be composed, empty and awake, alive and vibrant. Allow it to be as it naturally is. Leave it without the need to modify. Do not alter this present ordinary mind. Be free of accepting and rejecting, correcting or rearranging in your present fresh wakefulness. And then I'll go on. There's a little more commentary if I'll read a little bit more. Choki Nima Rinpoche says, that itself is the empty awakened awareness which we call recognizing. When this awareness is not focused toward something, then it is naturally wide open, undirected. That is exactly what is meant by, in the five senses, wide open, awareness undirected. So be like that. Rest in the equanimity of that. There is a sense of awakeness in our present ordinary mind that is not fixated on anything whatsoever, and it is unpolluted and pure. When leaving this fresh ordinary mind as it is, without correcting or modifying it, without altering it in any way, without accepting or rejecting, there is no fixating on anything. When one does not direct the mind toward anything, the normal conceptual attitudes that hold things to be permanent, to be real, that this is me and that is other, they are all then absent, or they are fading, or they are transparent. Then there is total freedom from karma and from disturbing emotion. The key point is, this is actually directed meditation now. He's actually giving us a way to practice, which this is very interesting and a little different than Zen. The key point of this practice is short moments, many times. Very interesting. Short moments, many times. Trying to keep awareness too long produces dullness and agitation. Rather than worry about the length of the experience, place emphasis on what is genuinely the natural, empty, awake, and non-fixated state. Even though it may not last very long, that's okay. It's better to be genuine. Any other state we might try to prolong, a made-up natural state, we may be able to keep that for a long while. But even though it lasts a long time, it's not going to be helpful for true progress. Our natural state is one that is genuine, real, and authentic. It must be unmixed with concept. The moment a conceptual attitude is formed, there is corruption. So, short moments, many times. Interesting. Huh? Short moments, many times. The length of our recognition at this stage probably is only short moments. When we try to stretch out its duration, when we try to stretch out its duration, what we nurture becomes conceptual, becomes artificial. But if, due to our training, the innate nature continues naturally for quite a while, it doesn't mean that we have to cut it short. That likewise would be conceptual. The point is that we do not have to do anything to it. We do not have to make it short, and we do not have to make it last long. This teaching is to strip awareness to its naked state. So, what do you think? Pretty interesting, huh? You had some comment.
Yeah, it's something, as I mentioned, that's been on my, that's been at my attention for some time now. And in particular, you say, well, it's not, it's quite similar to our Zen practice. And in particular, the main text in Soto Shu on this is the Fukan Zazengi. And in the Fukan Zazengi, the koan is, someone asks, how do you, what are you thinking of? And not, what is not thinking? Non-thinking. But in a recent text, Essence of Zen by Seke Harada Roshi, the translation is different. Translation of what is not thinking, rather than saying non-thinking, he translated as leaving the mind as it is. And that's
similar to,
it's identical.
Yeah. When I first started to practice, I had a
conception of a practice as kind of a project or an assignment. I don't know if anyone has similar sense. In the sense that even with all the Zen words, there was a sense of trying to be present, trying to be better,